You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And it is Friday. It is a special Friday. I've got two very special people in my life that it's their birthday. And so happy birthday to those. I was talking about singing to people that I pastor or sometimes not singing. Some people like don't sing. I had a birthday in the month of November for a family member, and some people, like my daughter, loves it when people, you know, make a spectacle about singing happy birthday, and it doesn't have to be in the same key or anything like that. In fact, the weirder and more unique it is, the more she likes it. This person wants it to be the traditional happy birthday style, wants it to be sung well, and so I customized that. But it is a birthday for a couple of very special people in my life, and so I want to wish them a happy birthday today from a person that loves them very much and thinks the world of them. So today we're going to invite you out to our services. Sunday morning, we have Sunday school at 9:30. We have worship at 10:30. And we would love to have you come and be a part of what God is doing in this Christmas season. We've got a Christmas Eve communion service. We've got a kids program that is coming up a week from Sunday. And we're excited about that. It's been several years since we've had children that we could do a Christmas program with. And some ladies have worked very, very diligently to get ready for this Christmas program. And the great thing about it is it's not going to be a professional production. It is going to be an expression of kids who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And I'm sure some of them will get a little stage shyness, and some will probably, you know, do some things that were unplanned and unscheduled, but it's all going to be done to the glory of God. And we are thankful for all of the work that has gone in to that production. That'll be on the 14th. On the 7th, we're going to have our normal schedule of services. We do have a Christmas Eve communion service that is coming up. It'll be, amazingly enough, on Christmas Eve. It'll be at 6 p.m. We take a very serious consideration of your time. We start at 6. We will not go longer than 7. And we're just going to celebrate all that God has done for us and sing some songs that maybe you don't normally sing. But we're looking forward to that. Hopefully you will join us for some services during the Christmas season. If you do not have a church home, we would love for you to pray about making Merritt Assembly of God the place that you come to thrive in your relationship with God, and you can join us in being a blessing to God, to be a blessing to our families, to be a blessing to our church, and to be a blessing to the community. And so thank you very much for praying about Merritt Assembly of God. We're going back to Psalm 139. I really had intended to get further along than what I did yesterday, but man, the fact that God thinks about us so much is really a very humbling thing. To think about the most important person in the entire history of existence, and his thoughts are continual about you. So Psalm 139, 17 and 18. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. So yesterday we were talking about the thoughts that God thinks towards us and how precious they are. They're proper, they're apparent, they're weighty, they're valuable, they're precious, and they are numerous. That's what I want to start off with today. It says, how great is the sum of them? And what that means, it's that God's thinking about you and I. It's not from a distance, but instead it is his thoughts are from a nearness to us. He is so involved in us. He knows the number of hairs on our head. I also add, he knows the actual color of the hairs on your head as well. He knows the thoughts that we have. He knows the intentions behind what we do. He knows what we have need of before we even ask. He knows the beginning of our days, and he knows the ending of our days. He knows if our name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. He knows what's behind the mask that so many people put on to try and keep people from knowing the reality of our existence. You know, people want you to know the best about them. They don't want you to be aware that there's any brokenness in their life. And I will tell you that that's a recipe for disaster. Because at that point in time, you are a slave to appearance. You are a slave to perception. Where really what we need is we need authenticity. We need genuine people who say, this is who I am. And so what you hear on the radio is a reflection of who I am. My personality is pretty much exactly what you hear. About the only time it gets somewhat modified is when I'm preaching to an audience, and in that point, I get more excited. I don't get less excited. Here, there's no one in the room, but it still doesn't stop my hands from making motions. There's all sorts of lights. I got hand motions that are going on, and those lights don't respond to the hand motions at all. And in fact, I've gotten so excited here, but I am in a chair, that I've accidentally knocked the phone off of the hook into the floor during some of the programs before. And so I'm not too worried about trying to put a spit and shine polish on the program. I want you to know that I'm a real man who loves Jesus with all my heart and want you to know him in a very real way as well. I had a person that I was talking to. I spent a great deal of time in communication with this person, and they said, Bob, you make Jesus sound so real. And I called that person by name, and I said, well, that's the easiest job in the world, because he is very, very real. And how we respond to God's thoughts about us is very important. So the thoughts that he thinks about us are from a position of intimacy and full awareness, and the thoughts are not about setting us up for failure, but about setting us up for success and making us more powerful. The word here that is translated great in the King James, or the New King James Version, or is the word vast in the Amplified Version, is a word that is very much related to the word substance in verse number 16. Verse number 16, your eyes saw my substance. And God started thinking, I mean, he was already thinking, he said, man, what I can do with that is going to be amazing. There are people who don't realize the value of something. They don't realize the potential of something many times. And so they're ready to discard something that may have tremendous value. When God called me into the ministry, I thought that my job was going to be to love people and to preach the word. I found out once I got into the ministry that there were a lot of different aspects to it, and that the ministry is a very challenging arena to try and successfully thrive in. And so I was telling this story here a few weeks ago about how I was at a discipleship camp. I had been sent there to hear from God. And the person that sent me wanted me to go and hear that I needed to do life the way he wanted it done. I started praying. I said, God, is ministry, I'm very young, I was in my 20s. I said, God, is ministry always going to be this hard? And he said, no. And I was like, oh, I'm so thankful. And he said, it gets harder. Now, I have a different mindset towards challenges as we are developing in life. I think that those challenges are very good for us. You see, God is preparing people for the difficulties of being a child of God in a world of sin. And we need to have a toughness. We need to have a patient endurance or a spirit of perseverance to where we're serving God with excellence, but we are determined that if none go with me, still I will follow. That God has done more for me than I could have ever done for myself. He's been better to me than I deserve. And so I was there and I was praying that prayer. And then in the hour after that prayer, God revealed to me my life's mission. And my life's mission was to take opportunities that other people deemed worthless because he thought they were priceless. And so a lot of the ministries that we have embarked on have not been, you know, because they were financially lucrative. In fact, many times they were financially detrimental. They've not been because they were places of abundance, but places that needed revival. And so I want you to know that God recognizes value where other people don't, and he wants to make you powerful. So God's thoughts are vast. They're great. And it talks about, for great is the sum of them. Great is the sum of them. And I was the guy that when I needed my GPA to go up, I would take a math class. I love math. Math is a very complex field. There's a lot about the arena of mathematics that I don't understand, but there's a lot that I do. And I think that we need to do a better job counting when it comes to our Christian life. It is not just about the number of people that you can impact, but I want to specifically talk right now about the sum of God's thoughts. That when he counts, it's not a small number. It is a substantial number. It talks about a band, a sum, or rank above. What God thinks about you is more important than what other people think about you. And it says, if I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. Now, when I read that passage, I think of Abraham. Abraham has no heir, but he has a relationship with God. And he's on up there in years. You know, I believe he was 75 when he left Haran to journey to the Promised Land, and he doesn't get Isaac until he's 100 and Sarah is 90. And the Bible specifically mentions both of them had lost their natural reproductive abilities. God had to do a miracle in their body, and Abraham was, you know, pretty bummed, if I can put that in common vernacular, about not having an heir. He said, all I've got's a servant. And then Sarah suggested, you know, try and manipulate. This is my personal opinion. You can reject it, and I'm okay. You can agree with it, and I'm okay. I really think that the reason that Sarah suggested Hagar to Abraham was so that Abraham would be seen to be the problem and not Sarah. And then all of a sudden, Hagar gets pregnant, and now Sarah is upset because of Hagar's behavior, but she's also coming to grips with the fact she is the one with the problem. Again, that's my personal opinion about that, and if you don't like it, I'm okay with that. But by the time Isaac is going to be conceived, both of them had lost their reproductive ability. 25 years, they have this promise without any physical advancement towards the fulfillment of the promise. Abraham, I'm going to make your heirs as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. That's a lot of sand. And so a lot of times we think of counting the granules of sand in relationship to Abraham, but I want to take it out of the past and bring it into your present, because David says that when discussing the thoughts that God thinks about David, and therefore he thinks about me and he thinks about you, is this: they are so numerous that they outnumber the grains of sand in the earth. That's a lot of sand. That means that's a lot of thinking about you. So if I can just make this very general observation, it's this: on December the 5th, 2025, God has never stopped thinking about you, and he never will. Look at Abraham and the fulfillment that came into his life, and you will understand that the God who promised heirs more numerous than the sand is thinking thoughts of you that are more numerous than sand. Now, I want to take you to the first part of verse number 18. It says, if I should count them. And the word has, you know, a very functional aspect of it. It means to count or to tally or to number. And the world is fascinated with numbers. The bigger, the better, unless you're talking about debt. And so, Well, how many square feet does your house have? How many miles to the gallon does your car get? How many zeros are in your bank account? How many toys do you have? There's all sorts of tallies. And I want you to know that sometimes people get so focused on the magnitude of the number that they forget to celebrate a very, very important number. That number's one. In Luke chapter 15, Jesus uses three parables to say that heaven rejoices over a single sinner that repents. And it doesn't matter if that sinner is famous or if no one even knows their name beside God. It doesn't matter if they're rich or if they're poor. All that matters to God is that one that he left the 99 for to pursue the one that was lost. We live in a day and time where people are captivated with large. So we don't just have churches, we have mega churches. And there's a great blessing that mega churches bring to the body of Christ. I'll be honest with you. They can put on productions. They have resources. They have talents. And they can put together research resources and things of that nature. They can do a lot of things very, very well. But if the one is lost in the sea of people, that creates a different situation entirely. Our goal has never been to stay small, but our goal is to love people that come. And so 1 year, this goes back a long time. We had finally seen the last member of a family give their heart to Jesus. It had started with a rededication of the mom, the salvation of the children, and the husband finally gave his heart to Jesus. And within 30 days, a company came, because he was very good at his job, a company hired him, and they moved out of state. We saw kingdom growth during that year, but our attendance went down. That family went on to be a blessing in another church and has been for several decades now. And so I always talk about counting, that God does math differently than what we do. And so there's it's important to be able to count. And he says, if I should count them, they'd be more in number than the sand of the sea. That's how much God thinks about you. But also in that action of counting, there is another concept, and that is, you're counting to celebrate. You're celebrating what God has done. I think that the modern Christian needs to do more celebrating. Do you know what the Bible refers to some of the most solemn gatherings in the Old Testament, they are referred to in one of two ways. They're either called festivals or they're called celebrations. The abundance of thoughts that God thinks about us should cause us to celebrate the fact that we are very, very important to God. There's a, it says here in verse number 18, when I awake, I am still with you. One resource that I said, could I count to the end of all of the thoughts that you think about me, I would still be with you. In other words, from beginning to end, the good thing is about being with God. So, as a pastor, my longing is, and I'm really driven by this, is that when people come to church, that they would know that God thinks about them, that God loves them, and that when they leave the doors of the church building, that they would know that they've encountered God, been touched by God, changed by God. 1 Corinthians 14 says that God's plan for the weekly gatherings is that whenever an unbeliever comes in, that they would leave saying, surely the presence of God is with you. I pray for all of us that the Christmas season of 2025 would be Emmanuel, God with us. Not just in presence, but in thought, thinking about us. Thinking about us in ways that we can't comprehend, but knowing that we have been set up, we've been set up for success. I got some more thoughts to share on God thinking about us. We will share those on Monday with you. I'm very excited about that. We want to invite you out to our church services, 9:30 for Sunday school, 10:30 for worship. Happy birthday to those family members that I love so much. I hope you have a great day, and we will be back Monday right here on the Refresh radio program. You have a great weekend. God bless you.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.